Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, straightforward on Saturdays. We started out at the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania Doc Talk podcast hosted by my good friend, Dr. Reg Roscoe. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it. 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. I see a lot of listeners on there. We'll try to get to everybody's comments and everything. You can catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Doc, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, this topic, dysthesia and GERD today.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a good day, Mark. Good topics. I'm doing well again. Thank you. You know, we're doing well. The weather in Pittsburgh, though, Mark's getting a little bit cold again. You know, we're in the 50s today, a little chilly and wet and overcast. Later in the week, we're going to hit our 80s and 90s. But it's just a little bit depressing, you know, with the chilly rain and cloudiness. Mark, if people need to get a hold of me, they can get me at doctalk1@outlook.com. That's the best way. Or they can get me on Facebook, Doc Talk on Facebook. Would appreciate the level of communication, and we'll try to get back to you quickly as well. So it's a good way to start, Mark.
Yeah, and, you know, just to switch subjects here, I don't know if it was a record yesterday, but there were 6 rainouts in Major League Baseball across the country, starting in Chicago and Cleveland and Philadelphia and Baltimore and New York, and well, it just went on and on. So I said to myself, wow, when's that weather going to get good back there?
Yes. Well, you know what? It's raining and cloudy today as well as for Mom's Day tomorrow. Later in the week, though, we're getting 70s, 80s, and sun. But that's later in the week. We'll see what happens. You know, this weather is like a pendulum in this part of the country. I think the Pirates were rained out, too, weren't they, in Cincinnati?
Yeah, they were rained out in Cincinnati. And, boy, they've got a string of doubleheaders to make up. And they're not 7 innings no more. They're 9. And unbelievable. We got Janice from Oceanside, California, saying, hi, boys. I'm back on again. Listen to you live. Waiting for this great topic. David from Boulder, Colorado. Jim from Visalia. We got a lot of people chiming in and waiting to hear this great subject tonight.
Well, thank you. I'd like to start, Mark, if it's okay with you.
Yes.
The topic today is called dysphagia. Another way to pronounce it is dysphagia. But indeed, the symptom that is very frequent is difficulty or discomfort swallowing in the throat. You know, sometimes it can be associated with a symptom called globus, that people feel there's something going on with the throat, that persistent sensation of a lump, and it never really goes away. And, you know, when we talk about these symptoms that we're picking, Mark, you know, as far as topics, this symptom in particular, with regard to visits to their family doctors, this symptom is about 15 million visits a year to the family doctors. So that's a big number. It's the 10th most popular symptom that family doctors see. So it does affect a lot of people. And when we talk about dysphagia, you know, we talk about difficulty in swallowing, painful swallowing. And when we talk about, you know, well, what does it affect? What's the organ that it affects? Well, we're going to break this out, as Mark always likes me to do. We're going to, the organ that we're talking about is a threesome. It's the oral cavity, it's the pharynx, and it's the esophagus. Those are the three organs that we need to talk about when we talk about dysphagia. Just interestingly, this organ complex has about 50 to 60 paired muscles that help control this, as well as multiple cranial nerves. It's a very sophisticated system. You know, as I've talked before about our bodies are very, very sophisticated, and we need to take care of them and respect them. But when we talk about this, if I can go on, Mark, you know, we can say, well, some of the dysphagia can come from people eating large bites of food, poor chewing, dry mouth, talking while they're eating, laughing while they're eating, you know, a variety of things. We start at the top down, you know, it could be that we're not chewing well, that we're eating food that's very, very dry. Could be from an infection standpoint, we're talking about a tonsillitis or a pharyngitis, where the tissues of the mouth are very inflamed and swollen. The purpose, you know, when we start talking about purpose, that with the mouth and the tongue, the purpose of that organ, food, into the second stage of swallowing, which is the pharynx. The pharynx is the throat. It's the area between the back of the tongue and the top of the esophagus. We have another very important organ there, which is the larynx or the vocal cords. So phase one, we have a bolus in our mouth. It's pushed into the pharynx after about 2 or 3 seconds, and then the food goes down past the voice box. Very important step here is that the vocal cords actually close and protect the airway. As that bolus passes the larynx, it then goes into the esophagus. The esophagus then transports the food from the back of the throat all the way to the belly. And it's kind of a long way to go, but it only takes several seconds for that trip to occur. And, Mark, I'll go on here a little bit about, well, what happens here? How can people have difficulty swallowing? You know, the main factor that we see with this difficulty can be neurologic. Neurologic means that there could be the nerves that are involved in this symptom that aren't working properly. And the most common problem we see with this is our patients having strokes. All right? If one has a stroke, of course, you know, in the white matter of the brain, then it could be that these nerves are damaged that controls the muscles in the different phases of swallowing. So let me kick it off with that, Mark, and see where we go with it, okay?
Yes, and I got some great questions coming in, too, whenever you're ready for those.
I'm ready to roll if you're ready to roll, Mark.
Yeah, so let's start out with Sally from Burlington, Vermont. Does swishing salt help as a home remedy when your back of your throat hurts? I can remember using that in the days. If you're, you know, swallowing was tough or your, you know, the tonsils or anything back there would swell up and get inflamed. Seemed like, you know, filling the glass of salt with hot water, you'd sit there and swish it to try to, you know, loosen that up. Is that still a home remedy in your mind, Doc?
Yes, sir. Honestly, you know, home remedies, as you know, sometimes can be very beneficial, especially early in disease courses. You know, if we're talking about, Mark, in this, you know, I'm going to label it phase one, which is the mouth phase, the oral phase, and we have an infection in the cheeks, the tongue, the tonsils, the throat. Usually, Mark, we recommend 2 teaspoons of salt in a half a glass of warm water. You stir it till it dissolves, and then we recommend gargling. If one can gargle, that would be great. And, you know, you take a slight mouthful, gargle it around, spit. Do a second one, third one. You may need to do that 2 to 3 times a day to see if you improve the symptoms. And what that does, as far as the purpose is to dilute the infection. We're kind of washing the bacteria out, decreasing the concentration, and then allowing our body to help take care of the infection. But salt water is still a good remedy.
Yeah.
And it's still
from Danbury, Connecticut. If you got COVID, it affected the throat and swallowing. And I heard about those things on the news, Doc, that people, if they got COVID, it would affect certain things. And one of them was, you know, swallowing. It was right in the throat. Any thought to that?
Sure. We know with COVID now, with regard to having a muscular problem or a malfunctioning organ, some of the thought is that we get small blood clots in the blood vessels in the brain that control these muscles. And if we get these blood clots, Mark, in these vessels, then oxygen can't flow. Therefore, that nerve doesn't work well. It then doesn't stimulate the muscle. But that's what we're seeing with COVID. Now, some of that is reversible. But the big thing is that we think it actually clogs the blood vessels inside the brain, leading to dysfunction. So they're absolutely correct. You know, you can go to the emergency room. They've been using some antibiotics. They've been using steroids. We don't have a good handle on that yet, but that's some of the information that's out there with regard to muscle malfunction. And that, Mark, that also ties in a little bit to people with COVID with lack of taste, lack of smell. We think there's some damage to the brain going to these areas that affect them. So it was an excellent question.
Right. We've got Russ from Bucks County, PA. Boys, we get older, everything breaks down, but the body is a strong machine.
Yes, sir. Would you like to comment on that?
Definitely. Yeah, throw a comment on that. That's a good one because, you know, we get these ailments and everything, and it just seems like our immune system can fight these things off.
You're absolutely right. Mark, I think we've talked about this on Doc Talk several times.
Yeah.
Our body is a wonderful machine. You know, it's just amazing the design that's gone into it and the function that it does. And, you know, with regard to aging, all right, you know, some of our things wear out. Some of them are not replaceable. But, indeed, we still have a good reparative mechanism to help take care of damaged parts. And as long as we respect our body, and again, we have to think about, and we've talked about nutrition. If we're feeding this organism, want it to be strong, to do everything it was designed to do, whether you're at 15, 50, or 70, you need to give it the good fuel, the vitamins, the supplements, to let our body work well. And it goes to our basic phenomena here of, you know, life. Let's take care of this body and get as much life out of it that we can.
Yeah, Doc from Winter Haven, Florida. Doc, your information is so useful for some of us that don't have full coverage medical insurance. And, you know, that's a great question, Doc. And to just follow up on that, you know, I just thought when this guy fired in the question and basically, you know, broke that thing down, I thought to myself, okay, we got urgent care, we got these big hospitals, but I think the personal touch of dealing one-on-one with a doc like you is more genuine because I think you get lost in the shuffle with some of these big hospitals and stuff dealing with different doctors. Am I on to something with that?
I think you are, Mark. You know, and, you know, as far as whether one's insured or not insured, you know, we still need health care. And, you know, the other thing is we want to go ahead and maintain our organism. All right? We want to take care of it. And I don't want to beat the drum here. You know, as far as smoking, chewing, vaping, alcohol intoxication, realize those are very damaging habits that hurt this body. So it's something, you know, all right, we don't have health insurance. Indeed, we can still treat our body with respect and treat our bodies well with giving it the things it needs. And going for personal care, indeed, you know, I think we've talked about it, you know, we want to have a good relationship with our provider, meaning that, you know, we want a provider to be able to talk with us, field our questions, and get to know our bodies and what they need. And you're right, going into a big emergency room where there's 10 different doctors You know, they're there for their shift and they go home. They never get to know you. And the same thing with the, you know, Express Cares or Q Cares. It's the same thing. It's a revolving door. If one can, try to develop a relationship with a doctor, a provider that's in your community that you're able to communicate with, and see if he can maintain your health care with your help. And, you know, I also mentioned, Mark, when we have a problem, to try to write down as much information about the problem that we can. So when we go into our provider, we're giving them more data to help diagnose our problem and help to solve it. Again, this is a little bit of a philosophy on, you know, our Doc Talk show here that we'd like to go ahead and let our listeners hear.
Exactly. And as you break down dysphagia and now GERD, as we got this great show winding down with about 13 minutes left, boy, that these two topics, something to really give our listeners something to, you know, cherish.
Sure. Mark, you know, if I can, again, thank you. And I can, you know, just kind of going on a little bit on the dysphagia, you know, we have the three areas of our body that are affected, the mouth, the throat, and the esophagus. One of the big problems with dysphagia in the esophageal part of this anatomy is GERD. That's why I wanted to bring that up. GERD is gastroesophageal reflux disease, meaning that our stomach makes hydrochloric acid, Mark, for digestion. That acid at times can leak up into the esophagus. You know, there's a valve right at the top of the stomach. If that valve leaks, which many times it does as we all age, as we get obese, as we don't exercise, these valves leak. When they're leaking acid, it then burns the tissue above it. And again, with GERD, when we have burning or tissue, damaged tissue, it leads to scarring. Scarring then makes it very difficult for the esophagus to open and close properly, and food can get stuck in it. So GERD is important on the bottom end of all this, so that we need to be careful, again, what we're eating, what we're drinking, all right? You know, as far as the real hot, spicy foods, alcohol, you know, are we laying in bed eating? A lot of habits, you know, that we'd like to go ahead and get rid of to maintain our health. So it is something that GERD's a problem. It's a frequent problem. Again, from a number of visits, it's about, again, 15 million visits a year to family doctors with that problem. So, again, that's another symptom complex along with a dysphagia, but it all fits together, Mark.
Yeah, I like the way that you broke that thing down. And when you look at it, to put a final touch on when you talk about dysphagia and GERD, to wrap that up and let everybody know, what would you put the cap on this as far as, you know, how they can prepare? We've talked about the home remedies, salt and stuff like that. You can never, you know, beat it going to see your doctor. That's the most important thing. But for some of these great listeners that are chiming in, how do we put a cap on dysphagia, and then we'll put a cap on GERD?
Sure. You know, as far, it's a big topic, Mark. It's not a little topic. It's a very big topic, has a lot of moving parts. I'd like to say this also, Mark. With dysphagia, the month of June is dysphagia awareness month in the medical literature. So our listeners may be hearing a little more about this on their TV newscasts, maybe in their newspapers. There'll be a little more discussion this month about dysphagia, because it is a very popular disease. But as far as dysphagia, I want to tie GERD in too. Let's be very cautious of how we treat this organ. Let's chew our food well, cut it into small pieces. Make sure that when we're eating, we're not laughing, choking, or not laughing, hollering, carrying on. Let's have mealtime be a very relaxing time so that we're able to eat, chew, and digest properly. The other thing is, you know, the quality of the food that we eat. Again, hot, spicy foods can irritate and damage and cause inflammation. Alcohol can definitely cause inflammation. So let's clean up our act, eat healthy protein, vegetables, and fruits, smaller pieces. The other thing is a little bit of daily exercise, Mark, of our anatomy. It all works together and helps.
No doubt about it. And exercise is a big thing. A lot of people don't think. They feel like if they eat, you know, semi-right, that, you know, okay, if we're doing our, but if you don't move around, if you just sit there, then the body's not moving. To keep yourself active is the main ingredient there as well. Am I right? Yep.
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, as far as all of us as we're aging, one of the biggest things we need to do is to maintain our mobility. We need to move. Once we lose our mobility and our knees hurt, our ankles hurt, our hips hurt, and we're more chair-bound, wheelchair-bound, Mark, we've kind of are cutting our time here on the earth. It's a real loser for us to get immobile. We need to promote our muscle health, our circulation, and oxygenation to our body's tissues.
Well, and now we're getting questions. We've got Jack chiming in from Denton, Texas. Jack throws a great question. He goes, part of the problem, guys, and listening live, another great one you guys are doing, is the fast foods. Inflation's priced some people out of, you know, eating real good. The fast foods are, you know, 2 for $5 here. So people, you know, eat that stuff, figuring, you know, they're curbing their hunger right there, or, you know, they're you know, doing stuff with that where they're not going to be hungry later, but they don't know what they're putting in their bodies.
You're absolutely correct. And again, you know, we have to be a smart consumer. You know, whatever we're buying, especially with our bodies, you know, you only get one. And with regard to putting things in our body, again, take responsibility. You know, if you go to McDonald's or you go to Burger King, ask them to eliminate the sauces. The sauces are the big culprit that have the sugars, all the salt, and a lot of the calories. You know, get rid of the sauce. You know, the beef, all right, beef's protein. There may be some salt in that. But let's watch what we eat. Let's not go after the French fries. All right, let's have them keep the French fries. You know, they have salads at these restaurants. The salads might be a little more expensive than the burger, but indeed we may need to do that, you know, 2 to 3 times a week to have that salad for lunch rather than, you know, the fish sandwich or the burgers, the cheeseburgers, the Big Macs, you know, that kind of thing. I think we need to go ahead and, you know, again, spend our money wisely and curb our hunger, but we need to take responsibility. Each of us have to. I think I mentioned, Mark, if I can go on for another minute, learn to cook, all right? If we can learn to cook and then dedicate ourselves to, okay, let me see what we can have today. I'll go to the grocery store. Mark, there are still bargains on vegetables that one can get. There are still bargains on lean meat that one can get. That, again, you invest more time, but you get more value. And again, it's an investment in our bodies that we're after to make our bodies healthier and to be maintained and for longevity. You know, we all want to be in our 80s and still get out and be able to walk or bicycle, enjoy our grandchildren, enjoy the theater. We want to go ahead and be able to do that. And that's the real win of taking care of our bodies through our lives.
Yep, Ralph chiming in saying you're right. The body is like a car, man. And chiming in is basically saying, you know, he's got to eat more better. Phil coming in from Shaker Heights, Ohio, basically saying, when I eat too much meat, I notice I get gout down near my toe and stuff. So, yeah, I've heard of that too. Gout is another subject to really look at too, Doc.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, gout is a metabolic disease, and it's a disease that's affected by our protein metabolism. All right, the way the body metabolizes protein, it forms something called uric acid. Uric acid crystals get caught in the joints. That's where the pain comes from. These crystals are kind of jaggy. They get caught in the joints, and when you go to move, it hurts the joints. So, you know, a couple of things. Limit your beef. Chicken, we can get away with. Beef and pork are the culprit, all right? So we want to limit those two, but let's substitute, all right, more of our vegetables. Learn to eat eggplant, all right? And, you know, maybe get on chicken. Same thing with fish. Learn to eat salmon. Learn to eat cod. Stay away from the shellfish. And, you know, again, re-educating our palate that we enjoy it, but we feel better. And a lot of times, Mark, we even lose weight.
Yes, no doubt about it. As we wrap this thing up, I know next week you got a subject you want to talk about. Tease the listeners what that one's going to be about so they can get their pens and paper and everything and take some notes.
Good. You know what? Thank you again. Listeners, thank you. Next Saturday, we'd like to talk about a topic. It's called TMJ, temporomandibular joint disorder. And it's a disorder that gives a lot of our patients headaches, facial pain, ear pain, oral pain. And again, very, very common symptom, and we'll get into it with regard to, you know, how it's caused and some of the remedies to help mediate it the best that we can, Mark.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. And as we get into these things and breaking them down, and boy, how important is the throat one that you talked about today? That was really something, because a lot of people, you know, they see something and swallowing is so important. And then when those, you know, glands start to shut a little, you know, people get alarmed and people, you know, they start, you know, and even in the old days, it was the old Sucrets to try to soothe it and stuff like that. We're getting comments like that now. And, you know, and you and I had talked about in the wintertime when I was battling a cough, it was more or less you'd suck down the Robitussin and everything, but then the cough kind of subsided, kind of had to play out. You thought, okay, do we need to get, you know, is that bronchitis and everything? So each and every week you break these things down to the listeners. The listeners get educated, and it's almost like, you know, free advice what you're giving them across the board here, my friend.
Well, I don't mind at all. I appreciate the opportunity. Mark, with any of this, with both of us, We want to help our listeners the best that we can and put them on the right track in making good health decisions. And that's kind of the purpose of Doc Talk. And, you know, we've been doing it now for a couple of months, and we hope indeed that our listeners are benefiting from what we're doing together. So I thank you.
Yeah, the crossover from all the other shows here is really helping out. They're starting to grasp it, and boy, I'll tell you, each and every week we keep surprising ourselves, my friend. Hey, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and where your practice is there in Pittsburgh.
Sure. You can get a hold of me at doctalk1@outlook.com, Doc Talk on Facebook. We're located a little bit north of Pittsburgh in a little burg called DuBois, Pennsylvania. And if you're in the area, stop into our clinic. Our phone number in that area is 814-375-0455. Would appreciate the interest in the calls, and I will be on top of the emails as well, answering the listeners' questions. So thank you, Mark, for the opportunity.
Definitely, and I'm sure they'll see the great receptionist there and everything and get to know everybody when they come in there, and that's the great thing about doing this across the country. If you're ever in the Pittsburgh area, you know where to look up the Doc over there and go see him, and very genuine, and that's what it's all about. You know, That's what we're lacking in today's country today, in some extent, is customer service and being genuine. But in Pittsburgh, they got it covered with Dr. Greg Roscoe. As we wrap this thing up for Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing in Los Angeles, California. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, to talk about another great subject and down the line with more great subjects so you listeners can take notes. Till then, have a blessed weekend, nice Mother's Day, and we'll see you next week at the same time.
Thank you.